This is Radio Boston, and I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. During the last academic year, two members of the Boston University hockey team were accused of sexual assault. Now, a new report from a BU task force says the hockey program is tainted by a culture of sexual entitlement, and it offers a number of recommendations to fix the problem.
In a letter to the BU community, University President Robert Brown said the preeminent status of the hockey team has contributed to a celebrity culture and has led to unacceptable and destructive behavior.
The task force offers a number of remedies, including better oversight of the hockey program and the establishment of a new sexual assault response and prevention center. Sarah McMahon is a professor at Rutgers University who has studied sexual violence on college campuses, and she joins us now. And Professor McMahon, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've done research into student athletes and the culture of sexual assault on college campuses. You've also read the report from BU. I'm wondering what jumps out at you about the findings.
In general, I think that President Brown should be commended for commissioning the task force to begin with, for even looking specifically at the culture of the team in athletics. Historically, this has not happened, and cases involving athletes have either been typically pushed under the carpet or individual athletes have been punished. And even worse, as we've seen, larger athletic cultures and institutions have been found to contribute to an environment that turns a blind eye to sexual violence, such as, you know, the case recently at Penn State. So from my perspective, it's not common that the culture of a sport is what's being investigated. And for those of us working in the field, we believe that looking at the culture is critical for understanding how to prevent sexual violence from occurring.
Mm.
It's not always about the individual's actions, but in what environment are they occurring.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that culture, because the report finds that a culture of sexual entitlement, now I'm quoting, a culture of sexual entitlement exists among some players on the men's ice hockey team, mm-hmm. which task force members say stems from their elevated social status. I'm wondering, based on your research with students at Rutgers, have you identified such a culture? And if so, you know, what leads to it and how best to confront it?
It's a good question and one that I think is somewhat complex. I think it's easier to say, oh, all athletes have this sense of entitlement, or kind of using a wide brush stroke to say, you know, indicting that it's all athletes, when clearly, when we looked more carefully, it's really subgroups of teams that may have this sense of entitlement and this culture. And so I think one of the complexities is making sure that we're clear that it's not all athletes, not all teams, and not even all members on the team. That being said, the research that I've done, and I know that others have done, has said that there are aspects that can contribute to cultures that do promote or tolerate sexual violence and a feeling of entitlement. And in particular, those seem to be cultures that may be either hyper-masculine, where there's a need to kind of prove male dominance. These are also cultures where this sense of entitlement exists, where students feel that they have this elevated status on campus. And many times that elevated status includes feeling or having the perception that they sort of have this open access sexually to women on campus.
Mm. I mean, it seems like one of the problems, and this certainly came up during the Penn State pedophile crisis as well, is these athletes live in such isolation from the campus at large. Isn't that a big part of the problem? And what can be done to confront that?
I do think that's a piece of the problem at times, again, for certain groups.
Sure.
And I think that this idea of insulation and isolation is really key to trying to understand where the sense of entitlement comes from. I think that it also, by isolating athletes in that sense, it can offer an opportunity for a community to develop, which is based on secrecy and protecting one another. So what happens at the whatever sports house party stays there, and it gives them another layer of protection and accountability, or lack of accountability, to others. One of the things that I found, and I believe that also came out in this report, is just a general sense that athletes are leading these sort of separate lives many times from the more general student population. And again, I think that can foster a sense of entitlement and difference and privilege for athletes. Mm-hmm. I think being able to have them more fully integrated into the campus environment is really critical, including their living situations.
One of the among the recommendations is that members of the team get sexual assault prevention training. Is there any evidence that this kind of thing works? What do student athletes need to be told about proper behavior?
Well, I thought that was an interesting point. At this point, many universities and colleges have sexual violence prevention education, not only for athletes, but for all students. And so that's really a recommendation that's been made quite broadly for most public schools, universities, and colleges, as well as private schools. And I think that the education piece is very critical. However, I think just doing education is not necessarily sufficient. It's how it's done. And there is quite a bit of research out there that has looked at this topic. So we know that certain formats are more effective than others. And one that's been particularly effective from my experience and also from my research is using peer educators and using peers to educate one another on what sexual violence means. Here at Rutgers, we have a program of student athletes who are trained as peer educators, and they provide presentations to their fellow athletes on these issues. And that seems to really increase the students' level of comfort and their willingness to hear a message. The other key piece, I think, is how you approach it. If you approach education as telling people they're potential perpetrators, that is probably not going to come off as effectively as approaching them to say that they have a role as bystanders, that they could be intervening. They could be using their leadership status as athletes in a positive light. We found that there are many, many athletes out there who are interested in using that leadership status in a positive way to make a difference.
Sarah McMahon, professor at Rutgers University, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.